gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Everybody.
Well, you did it, Kate.
Did what, Jim?
Lit a fire under the old man.
Oh, now what does that mean?
He's always right. The great father of us all, but this time.
What?
Oh, I love you for it.
Oh, are you talking about getting that miserable apartment painted?
I'm talking about going over there and doing it yourself.
Well, it wasn't such a job. I don't know why there was so much of a fuss about it.
Just that the other tenants in the building found out what a few cans of paint can do, and they pounced on the landlord.
Oh.
And the landlord pounced on our peerless leader.
Oh.
Al doesn't like the boat rock.
I got the message to see him.
He won't be in this morning.
Chicken.
He doesn't know what to do about you.
He can always find me another apartment that needs painting. I like the work.
I must say, you surprised me, Kate. When you first came here, you were sort of quiet and standoffish.
I was scared.
I know that now. But at first...
I know. I got the job through Mr. Cushing and nobody liked me for it.
Kate, don't let them kid you. Half the people here got their jobs through somebody who knew somebody. I got mine through a lawyer I knew.
Well, then
you were so polite and sort of neat. Everybody wondered whether you were with it.
Am I?
You'll do. Just keep that white paint on the back of your hair.
Oh, I thought I washed that all out. June, what do I do until Mr. Ross gets in?
I have orders to show you our list of expensive apartments to rent.
You're kidding. Anyhow, I've seen it.
Then you look at our listings of expensive estates for sale, with pretty pictures.
But wasn't there another apartment to rent in 614 West Calvert?
That's off the market. Some relative moved in with the old lady so she can pay the rent.
Oh, good. Okay, I'll look at the pretty pictures. I wouldn't want to make waves for you, June. Oh, excuse me, June, that's my phone. Kate Wakefield. Oh, good morning, Tony. Well, sure, I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to everybody this morning. Sure, I feel great. I'd love to have lunch with you. Complete with your apology, of course. Anytime you want. My job today is looking at pretty pictures. 12:30? Yes. I know the place. Okay, bye. Sorry, June. Now, where's your picture book?
Here you are. Gorgeous places all over the world.
And all for sale?
If you have $1 million or more.
I'll do my homework. Hey, maybe I'll even get sent to look at one.
If you go, I go, baby.
What an idea. June, all kidding aside, I owe you a big bundle of thanks.
Why me?
You've been so nice to me ever since I came into the Al Ross office.
Why not? I like you.
Well, you've been more than just nice. You've helped me.
I hope so.
And then you said something this morning that's just made my day.
You mean about how many of us got our jobs here through knowing someone?
Well, that helped, but it was something else.
What?
You said you'd all decided that I was with it. Nobody ever said that to me before. And it means everything. Yeah.
Yes. Who? Look, I'm on my way out to lunch in 10 minutes. She never makes appointments or keeps them. Well, I guess I'll have to see her. Buzz me in 5 minutes if I'm stuck, and take all calls. I don't want to be late today.
Tony, how sweet of you.
Delighted to see you, Holly.
I hoped you would be, darling. It's lunchtime.
Oh, well, I have an engagement. I am sorry.
Oh, that would depend upon whom it's with, wouldn't it?
Sit down, Holly.
Only for a second. You have that preoccupied look. So I'll be quick. I really can be, you know. Except, as I always say, I never see enough of you, Tony. You're as elusive as an eel. I told that to Ned last night.
Well, I should have pleased him. You had enough men buzzing around you.
Never the right ones. Every man's hostess, no man's darling.
You've got a good husband, Holly. You better stick with him.
Well, I will. Through next weekend. Tony, Ned and I, now, don't laugh, are celebrating our 15th wedding anniversary.
No kidding.
15 endless years of happy married life. We're giving a big bash up in the country. We absolutely insist on your being there.
I wouldn't miss it. I think that's great.
All right. That's all right. Now, I have two direct questions.
Okay. Fire away.
Will you bring your mystery girlfriend?
Who's that?
What if I knew she wouldn't be a mystery? There's someone keeping you away from us all. You've never been so secretive before. Will you bring her?
I don't think so.
Oh, why not, Tony? We're your best friends. Maybe she'd like to know us.
Well, I'll think about it, Holly.
Oh, please do, Tony. This is really going to be a nice party. Not all those hangers-on and leeches that Ned collects. Just our friends, all the people you and Ned and I know and love.
Well, as I said, I'll think about it. You had another question?
Have you heard from Claire lately?
Why should I?
You don't happen to know where she is.
Holly, I haven't talked to Claire in 6 months. I haven't known where she is in 3 years. Does that answer your question?
Not really. Peg met her in London. And Claire said that she is coming
this
home.
This really doesn't concern me,
but
Holly.
If Claire comes back, I'll have to invite her to our anniversary party. We've known her for so long. Tony, would you mind too much?
You know the answer to that.
Cooking. We have your tea.
Oh, thank you, Rhoda.
Hello, Tony.
Kate, I've kept you waiting.
Oh, I just walked in ahead of you.
That's the last thing I wanted to do today.
Don't worry about it. Take me 5 minutes to see where I am in these dark little restaurants.
Me too. Sun is brilliant today. Ah, here's our table. You sit right here.
Lovely.
Well, are you in a hurry?
No. Nope. I told you Mr. Ross hadn't come in this morning.
Oh, yes.
And just before I left, I heard he wasn't coming in this afternoon.
You know, you scared him.
I'd like to.
Al's all right once you know him. He's like everybody in this town, scared of the guy above him.
Ah, that makes you pretty free.
Why do you say that?
You're a boss man, aren't you?
Oh, no. I've got a man above me.
Oh.
The president, Hugh Fletcher.
What's he like?
Oh, he's a thin, solemn guy with black ink for blood. He finds it painful to laugh, except when he's reading the prophet seat.
And he's on top?
No. He's a president. There's a man above him nobody ever sees. He speaks from the clouds.
Oh, what's his name?
Name is Mr. Carruthers. They forgot to give him a first name. Why all the questions?
Oh, I was thinking how little I really know about you, Tony.
Oh, a couple of nights ago you were so mad at me, I didn't think you'd ever want to know anything.
You did order me around.
I tried to take care of you, Kate, in that dump you were painting.
But you apologized.
I've just changed my mind about that. The way you look this minute, I'll take care of you any chance I get.
I accept your apology.
All right, we'll drink to it. Max! 2 tomato juice, twist of lemon. Hold the menu. We'll order later. Right, Kate?
Right. Now, tell me about yourself.
That's my line, honey. But I will tell you I'm leaving for Washington tonight.
Oh?
Be back tomorrow. I'll call you when I get in.
If you want.
That's a cold fish answer.
Tony, you always shift the conversation. I really would like to know something about you. Your friends, what you like to do.
I play good tennis, golf when I have to. I like to sail and I fly a plane.
Do you?
I did in the war and never gave it up.
And what kind of people do you like?
Would you like to meet some of them?
I'd adore to.
Ah. Yeah, maybe it's time you did.
right. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
Ladies, we meet again. Tell me, in my absence, have you given thought to the predicament in which Rebecca Sharp finds herself? Oh, dear me, can you have forgot her plight? Then I shall refresh your memory. Becky feigned a painful turned ankle. The purpose of this pretty charade? To gain the attention of Captain Rawdon Crawley upon their first meeting. To the astonishment of his aunt, Rawdon arrived at the mansion carrying the wounded Becky. The moment Miss Crawley contrived to be alone with the patient... Well, surely you recall her chill words.
I am not easily fooled, Miss Sharp. We will have the truth now about your accident, your felicitous rescue by my nephew, and your extraordinary appearance in his arms.
It is not in the nature of Becky to panic. But she is most surely in a state of alarm as these thoughts race through her mind before she answers the lady whose good will she must keep at any cost.
Oh, Lord, I'm into the soup for fair. Why can't ever I learn to bide my time? Wait, what, listen. But I did listen. Miss Crawley said she'd not mind if I flirted with Captain Rawdon. But she meant only a flirtation. She suspects now I mean it to be more. Oh, never, never would she permit him to be serious about a governess. Oh, I went too far, too fast, too soon. She liked me until this. Now the look in her eyes, cold, her voice cold, and I shall drown in this soup. No, I got round her before, and get round her I will again.
The truth, Rebecca.
What need to speak the truth, Miss Crawley?
Because I demand it.
When already you know it. As I was certain you would.
What?
How clever you are. No one else suspected. Sir Pitt, the captain, Giles, only you. The others all believed I truly turned my ankle.
You knew I'd see through your play acting.
Knew and counted on it. Our own little joke to laugh at behind their backs.
Then why did you not tell me your plan before you accomplished our little joke?
Oh, how I wanted to. But I thought of it only whilst I dressed this morning, and you weren't yet awake. Oh, surely you're not cross with me.
I'm not sure. You could have waked me.
But there wasn't time if I was to meet Captain Crawley in the lane.
It's not clear to me why it was necessary to meet him in the lane.
Oh, La, you're teasing me. You just want me to say it. You know it was because I wanted to please you.
Please me?
Oh, dear. Could I have... Oh, is it possible I misunderstood you last night? You did say, didn't you, that you gave your blessing to a little flirtation. Could I have misheard you?
I said that, yes.
Oh, dear Miss Crawley, if you didn't mean it, if you've changed your mind, then I shall have nothing, nothing to do with Captain Rawdon during his visit, except what is polite and proper.
I meant it, and I've not changed my mind. But alone, alone. Why?
Why, he's only to be here a few days, and I thought I must move swiftly.
Don't play any more games with me, child. If there are to be games, I want to be part of them. It's the only way I can endure this visit.
I want you to be part of them. Oh, do say I'm forgiven for not waking you so we might plan all this together.
Forgiven? Provided you never again keep secrets from me.
Never. I vow it. And, is it our secret now that my ankle is not in the least hurt?
Of course, of course.
I wonder what's keeping the others.
I can't think, and I do want my morning tea. Where can Rawdon have got to?
Here, Aunt Matilda.
Oh, there you are, and high time.
Was I long? Sorry, very sorry. Oh,
just as well. You gave me time for a most edifying talk with Rebecca. Why are you carrying that tea tray?
Let a footman or a maid carry it here, and fancy the tales carried back to the kitchen of Miss Sharp's accident.
How thoughtful you are. I'm sure they'd have me at death's door.
Do set the tray down, love. You'd not make a good footman.
Oh, yes, right.
I'll pour.
I say, how is that ankle, Miss Sharp?
'Tis nothing serious. Rebecca has spoken the truth the whole of the time.
I always speak the truth. Always.
So, Becky's hazardous undertaking has but bound her closer to Miss Crawley. But do not undervalue Matilda Crawley's shrewdness. Ladies, pour a cup of tea yourselves, and I shall explain my meaning. Ah, cream, sugar, lemon.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Claus.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Finalmet. Finalmet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Finalmet holds up longer than you do.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. But then I learned about new Daytrol. I compared labels. Daytrol has no aspirin either. Both have the same pain reliever, same effectiveness. But compare prices. Daytrol can cost less. So shop for the best prices and save money.
Daytrol, new from Bristol-Myers.
Fair listeners, ask yourselves this question. Does Miss Crawley fully believe Becky's adroit explanation of this morning's escapade? This evening, she sits on the terrace with her little spaniel, thoughtfully watching Rawdon and Rebecca wander through the formal gardens. Let us wander with them, and later return to Miss Crawley for an answer to our uneasy question.
Your ankle, Miss Rebecca. Certain you're not harming it with walking.
Not so long as you allow me to lean upon your arm. You're certain you don't mind?
Mind? Oh, by Jove. Pleasure.
Then we're both pleased, leaning and walking under a full moon.
I see. Round as a plate up there.
Your aunt doesn't like the moon.
Hang it. Everyone likes the moon.
No. It reminds her of a lost love.
Oh, she's told you about Pierre, has she? Well, by George, I like the moon.
And the stars. Oh, the stars. They make me feel almost a spirit when I gaze upon them.
Ah, So do I. Exactly, Miss Rebecca.
And hark to the crickets playing their little melodies.
Busy little chaps.
Yes. And the tip of your cigar looks like one of the fireflies.
So it does. Never thought. You don't mind the smell of my cigar?
Oh, I love the smell of a cigar out of doors, beyond anything in the world. Oh, Captain, dare I have a little taste of it?
I say, would you dare?
Would you want me to?
I would, I would.
Oh, but what if your auntie saw? She's there, on the terrace.
Auntie, the old girl smokes them herself.
Does she?
Bold as brass whenever it suits her.
Oh, well, in that case, your cigar, Captain Crawley.
Your servant, Miss Rebecca. Look, blow out, blow out.
Oh.
Jove, Gad. Now this would be the finest cigar ever I smoked.
But lovely, but even if Miss Crawley does indulge, what if she doesn't approve all the same? Oh, what is she thinking?
Look yonder, Poof Poof. Did you see Rebecca's face light up? More than moonlight. Rawdon's cigar. She said only a flirtation. Do we believe her, Poof? What a catch Rawdon would be for a penniless orphaned governess. We like her, oh yes. But we must make it quite clear that Rawdon himself will be penniless, not Tuppence from me, if he marries less than an heiress. I shall have a talk with Rebecca and with Rawdon in the morning.
There you have it, ladies. Becky's hopes gone up like the cigar in smoke. Tomorrow, those talks. Until then, I am your most devoted servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Hi, I've only got a minute. My job here at home requires my full attention. I just wanted to say a few words about hair coloring. My little girl has beautiful chestnut hair, like I used to. And it made me very conscious every time I brushed her hair of the gray that had been sneaking into mine the last year or so. I'd thought about hair coloring, but using peroxide or changing my natural color turned me off. Then one day I heard about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. How it had no peroxide and came in 15 shades, one just like my own. I said, okay, I'll try it. Sure enough, Loving Care covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it made my hair softer and shinier, too. And some days, it's just such a comfort to peek in the mirror and see a woman who looks pretty terrific, considering her immediate surroundings.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Author's Studio has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. Check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Am I interrupting anything?
Oh, no.
Oh, no, dear. Come on in. What are you doing in town?
Oh, I've been looking at Christmas cards. I thought maybe you might come over to the card shop and look at the catalogs with
me. Oh, not a chance. Look, I've still got some work to do here at the office, and I'm going over and get my hair cut.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm for that. I was beginning to think you were letting it grow long.
No, no. The last time I went in for a haircut, Tony was home with a flu or something, so I didn't get it cut.
I thought he had a couple of other barbers in there. Were they gone, too?
Oh, you know I wouldn't have anybody but Tony. Don't you remember when I had to let one of those other guys cut my hair and how terrible it was?
No. When was that? I don't remember.
You don't remember when Tony went to Italy for a visit?
Oh, vaguely, I guess.
1968, October of 1968, Tony went to Italy. October in the first 2 weeks of November. He was gone 6 weeks, 1968.
You amaze me. I'll bet you don't remember one single date of any trip we have ever taken, but you remember exactly when your barber went to Italy.
Because one of the other guys in the shop had to cut my hair.
Well, what was so terrible about that?
Well, don't you remember how he hacked it off in the back and he took too much off the top and then he left it sort of bushy over my ears?
Well, I don't know now that you're going on about it. I guess I do remember sort of something.
He made such a mess out of it, I didn't even want to go anywhere until it grew out again. Boy, I tell you, I couldn't wait to have Tony get back from Italy.
Did you meet him at the airport?
Oh, no, no, nothing like that. But when I found out when he was getting in and I was at the barbershop first thing in the morning, he did the best he could to repair the damage, but as Tony said, once hair has been cut, it's been cut.
Oh, that is so true. That's very clever. I wish I'd said that.
All right, Miss Smart Alecky.
You're so fussy about your haircut.
Well, I'm not any fussier than you are. Look how you carry on if you can't get an appointment or somebody else has to do your hair.
Well, that's different. There's more to it with women. Well, let's not talk about it anymore. I'm going to Harry's and get some meat, and then I'm going to get on out to the country.
And I'm stopping at Tony's to get a haircut, then I'll be right home.
Come in. Come in. Can I help you, sir?
Yes. I just...
Something in a winter coat, maybe. We just got some new cashmeres in today. In fact, I was just unpacking...
No. The barbershop next door, they're closed permanently, like the sign says?
Oh, yes. Tony's closed up shop. And
closed up shop? When?
Oh, just about a week ago. He retired.
Retired?
Yep. Packed up, moved to Florida.
Florida?
That's right. And he certainly left behind a bunch of loyal customers, all rushing in here asking about the barbershop.
Yeah, but there's somebody in the shop. It can't be closed.
The shop is closed, sir. Believe me. There's carpenters in there, that's all. And they won't open the door anymore.
Tony never said a word to me about retiring, going to Florida.
Well, I think he gets kind of tired of the new styles, you know. He said he guessed he was behind the times.
Behind the times? I had Tony for 16 years. I mean, 16 years I've been coming to that barbershop. He's the best barber in town.
Oh, I got a good man myself out on Garrett Avenue.
What? You have a store right next to Tony's, and you went way out to Garrett Avenue to some other barber?
That's right. Bert Wiley. Been going to him for 22 years. Now, why don't you give him a try?
No. Don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, Tony's son is opening up a place of his own in the new arcade. In fact, I think he opened today. You might try him.
No. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, look, I just got a whole shipment of new coats and slacks and jackets, winter things. I've got to unpack before I can go home. Bill, I'll be right with you.
Oh, look, I'm sorry to hold you up. You go right ahead. I had Tony for 16 years. 16.
Yeah.
16 years.
Yeah, well, that's the way it goes.
Yeah. About every 2-3 weeks, I'd be around to get my usual haircut.
Yeah.
I'd walk in and Tony'd say, "Aha, buongiorno, come sta?" I don't speak Italian, but I'd say, "Oh, benissimo, grazie." And then we'd both laugh.
Uh-huh.
He said buongiorno because I always tried to get in early in the morning for my haircut, you know?
Yeah, well, I usually get my haircut late in the afternoon on the way home.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, he's already gone to Florida?
Yeah.
Well, that's the way it goes, I guess. Thanks very much. I'm sorry to bother you. I just don't understand. Tony never said a word to me about it.
Bill? Oh, boy, that guy was in the worst shape of all. I hope he gets home all right tonight.
Now, look, dear, try to eat something. I brought a plate of food in here to the den for you. Come on, Swiss steak. You love it.
I know you think I'm being childish, but I can't understand it. Don't you think it's funny when you've got a friend and he just ups and goes to Florida and doesn't tell you?
Tony wasn't your friend. He was your barber.
16 years he cut my hair. He knew just how to do it. Not too short, not too long. Always just right.
Yes, I know, I know. You've said so. I think there's a picture in tonight's paper of his son's new place in the arcade.
As Bob Mason said, and he was so right. I think it was Bob who said it.
Will you hand me the other section of the paper? The back section, right
Bob
there.
Bob said, when Tony cut your hair, you didn't look as though you'd had a haircut. And that's the real test of a good barber.
Here's a picture of his son's new shop.
Where am I going to get Tony's scalp lotion? It was their own family formula. And you could see what a great head of hair Tony had.
Oh, you're not worried about getting bald, for heaven's sakes.
Well, the reason I haven't gotten bald is because Tony has been keeping an eye on my scalp. The lotion he gave me that I had to rub in every time I washed my hair and a dab before I went to bed.
Yes, I know. Oh, come on. Now you know that nobody's found a cure for baldness.
All right. Just the same, I think Tony's lotion has helped.
Well, all right. Look. Take a look. Here's a picture of his son's new place. Only it's not Tony's barbershop. This is Antonio, hairstylist for men.
Oh, boy. Hairstylist for men.
Well, you can get just about everything there. Hairstyling, of course. Shampoo, sets, permanent waves.
For men?
Mm-hmm.
Permanent?
Yeah, read it for yourself. See, look. Even straightening hair, bleaching and coloring. Oh, also specialized in beard and mustache trimming and styling.
The guy at the clothing store told me Tony said he guessed he was behind the times. Tony certainly didn't give permanence to guys with long hair, and I certainly can't see him putting some guy's hair up in curlers.
You really are quite conservative, aren't you? Well, I don't know why I said that. I know you're conservative. What's wrong with men getting their hair done? The objection most people have to boys who are having long hair is that they never seem to wash it.
Is that Swiss steak?
Mm-hmm.
What are those things?
Mushrooms, which you love. Now, eat something. It's good. And maybe Tony's son, Antonio, has the same scalp lotion. You can get it from him. Or, if you do get bald, I see here he has hair pieces.
What? I would never wear a hair piece.
Why? Women wear wigs. Men have worn wigs since the beginning of civilization, practically. Kings and queens wore wigs. George Washington wore one.
Yeah, well, I...
4,000 or 5,000 years ago, the Egyptian pharaohs wore wigs.
Yeah, I guess so. It seems funny, doesn't it, that long ago, you wouldn't think that the Egyptians would have known how to make wigs then, huh?
If you could build a pyramid, you could certainly make some wigs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm glad to see you eating something, dear.
Ah, 16 years Tony cut my hair.
Oh, honey.
He moved his shop twice, but I just followed him around.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in 65. Yeah. May of 1965, just about 10 years ago, Tony had an operation on his back.
Uh-huh. Another crisis in the history of your hair?
Fused disc he had. He was out about 2 months that time.
Goodness, what did you do?
Well, fortunately, Tony let us know. I mean, he told me, and he made an appointment to get my hair cut the day before the operation.
Oh, good. I was afraid you were going to say you were waiting for a neck trim when he got out of anesthesia.
Oh, you think you're pretty funny, don't you?
I think you're pretty funny. I think you're more upset losing your barber than you would be your wife.
There may be something to that.
No, I think so. I'll get it. You finish your dinner. And then let's talk about something else for a change. If nothing else, maybe the Christmas cards or something like that. Hello? Yes, hold on. He's right here. I think it's Glenn. Take it.
All right.
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah, just found out. I know. Just what I said. Well, I don't know what to do. What? Try who? Oh, no. I talked to Fred, and Fred said that guy is no good for razor trims, and he gets the sides too short.
Excuse me, I have had all I can take.
Is Barbara being real cute about this, Glenn? Yeah. I just don't know why women can't understand that when a man loses his barber, it's one of the real tragedies of his life. Yeah, that's perfectly right.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Dan Rolon Antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
The Little Things in Life with Peg Lynch and Bob Dryden was written by Peg Lynch, directed by Warren Somerville, produced by Dick Cox and Peg Lynch, and has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be. I'm Charles Woods. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold, the story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers.
Champagne? Do we really have something to celebrate, Lisa?
Champagne is always appropriate, good darling. Here, you do the honors.
We won't be having many more evenings like this.
We're lucky to get this one. Where is your Chicago heiress tonight?
Lynn is dining alone. I told her I had to see an old friend who's the biggest bore in Zurich.
Oh, you dare.
And that I loved her too much to subject her to his long-winded stories.
Everything is working, then.
Precisely. You have overlooked nothing.
One thing. A ring. An engagement ring.
We can't afford to buy her one. Not a good one, anyway. It would take too much of our bankroll.
Well, you should give her one.
I know, you're right. Since I'm supposed to have money, it will look strange if I don't.
Look, there is a solution. I hate to do it, but here, take this.
My God, Lisa, that's one of your favorite rings.
Yes. I always liked the ornate setting for a change. It dates it, I know, but...
Are you sure you want to do this? Maybe we bought an inexpensive...
Tell her it was your mother's, and you've been saving it for... Why am I telling you what to tell her? I'm helping you make love to another woman.
Lisa, it will never be like it is with us.
It seems once I knew you had to get the money, somehow I became your accomplice. But I draw the line at writing your pretty speeches.
Here, have some more. I realize I can never do this without you.
Is Renoir still following you?
Not lately. He knows we've seen him, and would you believe it? Lynn has been waving at him.
Oh, no. She still thinks he's following Herr Hoffman's orders.
Yes. She said he looked lonely and was all set to invite him over to our table.
Don't let them get together. Rene could find out from her how he can get to her father. Or even tell her directly.
Which would blow the whole thing out of the water.
That's why you must get married quickly. And get out of Zurich. If her father ever found out that the report he got on you is false, there would be no marriage.
And no money for Kurt and Lisa. You've got to come to Chicago fast, Lisa. I need you in more ways than one.
I suppose once you're married to her, things will be a lot easier.
All that lovely, lovely money.
And we have to figure out how you can get it.
Aren't you afraid Renee can find out how to get to Lynn's father through Bertha Schmidt?
Yes, I am. He charmed her out of her wits and got the name of Mr. Carter from her. And that's all. And now she's the only person who could and would tell him how to reach Mr. Carter, that he is in Chicago.
How can you stop him?
Oh, I have a little plan.
Rene Noir has certainly met his match.
Well, don't tell him, darling. As long as he thinks he's cleverer than I am, I have him in the palm of my hand.
Oh, I never thought we'd get away, Jason.
You know, this is the perfect time of year for the cabin, darling. You still want to go to the cabin?
Oh, You never give up, do
well,
you?
Well, the Inn on the Lake has a great dining room.
And a fabulous golf course.
Oh?
Oh, look at those changing colors in the trees.
Mm.
I doubt if the scenery is more spectacular anywhere, even Switzerland. Have you heard from or about Lynn?
Robert said she'd called and that all is well in Zurich.
Does he know any more about this Curtis Rogers she went over to see?
Well, he checked out okay, but Dad is still unhappy about it.
I'll bet. When is she coming back?
Well, Dad doesn't know, but he's sure she'll have Kurt Rogers in tow when she does.
Darling, did you get my prescription renewed?
Oh, yes, darling. I checked with Marsh. Oh, by the way, he cut the strength down.
Oh. Well, that's good. Did he say anything about his home situation?
No, nothing new. Ginger seems to be a little more secure as long as Marsh checks in with her all the time.
Oh, jealousy's a dreadful thing.
Well, I hope it works out. It'd be a shame if Angela has to leave just to keep Ginger from being suspicious.
Well, she mustn't go.
Well, I thought you said maybe she should, at least for the sake of leading her own life.
Well, I know, but... Well, right now we all need her.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. But then I learned about new Datril. I compared labels. Datril has no aspirin either. Both have the same pain reliever, same effectiveness. But compare prices. Datril can cost less. So shop for the best prices and save money.
Datril, new from Bristol-Myers.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Finalnet sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Finalnet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Finalnet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Finalnet. The first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Well, that's everything, Em. I think you brought enough groceries to last us a week.
Oh, the cabin looks fine.
Mm.
The squirrels didn't get in this year.
Yeah, I wonder how long it'll take the gas fridge to make ice.
Well, a couple of hours, I think, honey. Why?
Well, how does a lukewarm martini strike you?
Now, didn't you look in the bottom of the food chest? I put in 2 bags of ice cubes.
You know, I knew someday I'd discover why I married you.
It's taken you all these years and 3 children.
Yep, but the trip was worth it. Well, come on, let's go. You mix the martini, and I'll start the fire.
Okay.
Oh. Well, looks so nice and clean.
Well, I had Mrs. Chancellor come by when her husband delivered the tank of propane gas, and she gave it a once over lightly.
Now, if I haven't lost my touch with 2 dry sticks... You know, this place certainly has been a refuge for all of us. Darling, Bobby certainly loves it.
He learned to swim and canoe here, didn't he?
Yep. I felt a little bad about leaving Susie and Jen behind.
Well, so did I, but I promised Susie we'd all come up here for a super Thanksgiving celebration.
Mm. Well, and Bobby will be home from Harvard then, too. Now, let's see what kind of a Boy Scout I am.
Jason, that doesn't look like 2 dry twigs to me.
Do you want a fire or a demonstration? There. Now, that drink. Mm. No, I hardly miss civilization.
Oh, darling, this is civilization.
And you beside me.
Mm. I love a fire, Kurt. I'm glad the lounge is deserted.
Well, I'm glad you weren't asleep when I got back.
I haven't been sleeping much lately. I'm too happy, I guess.
Any special reason?
Of course there is. How was your dinner?
My dinner?
Your boring friend. What did you call him, Zurich's biggest zero?
Oh, that. Well, what can you say about a boring evening?
You know, you're either terribly noble or you had a deep, dark, devious reason.
Now, why do you say that?
You said you couldn't stand bores. Don't you remember?
I did.
I remember everything you ever said, Kurt.
Oh. Well, the reason I had dinner with our Zero was to arrange for the transfer of some funds he's holding for me to a New York bank.
Oh.
What's the matter?
Oh, I thought you'd be staying in Chicago for a while.
You did?
Well, yes, aren't you?
Oh, I have plans to, yes. As a matter of fact, my New York bank has instructions to transfer everything to its Chicago correspondent bank.
Well, Daddy can help you if you need any assistance. He knows everyone.
Do you think he'll approve of me?
He will if I do.
I guess I really should ask.
Ask what?
We're practically alone here, so I guess it's all right.
Well, what is?
Will you marry me?
What?
Will you marry me?
Oh, yes. You didn't have to ask me twice.
And since I was hopeful, I brought this.
Oh, Kurt. It's lovely. It's old, isn't it?
It was my mother's.
Oh, Kurt, how wonderful. I just love it. Oh, she had beautiful taste.
And one more thing.
Oh, how much more could there be?
Let's get married right away.
Oh, yes, as soon as we get home.
I mean right here, right away, here in Zurich.
Oh, darling, Daddy would be so disappointed. I know he wants to meet you.
Darling, we've waited so long, and it would be so wonderful to have our honeymoon where we first met.
But all my friends, my family,
will be my family, my only family, when we're married.
All right, darling. We'll get married here.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Final Net. Gives your hair a great, long-lasting hold. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.